Psalm 23 and verse 3. Again, we'll look at, we'll read the whole thing again just to put the whole thing in context. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Now tonight, we'll get to this part of verse 3. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. All right, let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. Please teach us, direct us, help us, and guide us tonight, Father. And all truth, wisdom, and understanding, help us to be yielded and obedient. Father, we ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. All right. Notice that the Bible says in verse 2, He leadeth me beside the still waters. And now in verse 3, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And this psalm is where, again, the gentleman, the brother who penned the words to, He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. This is where he got the inspiration for this from. He was doing a study on Psalm 23, and then the inspiration for the song, He leadeth me, came to him. Because in Psalm 23, you see, the Bible says, He leadeth me. He leadeth me. So once again, we looked at it in verse 2. Once again, we see, He leadeth me. The shepherd leading the sheep, going before them. In verse 2, He led them beside the still waters. Here in verse 3, He leads them in the paths of righteousness. You see, after the flock has been led out of the fold and led to the green pastures, led to the still waters, after the flock has been pastured and watered, after their strength has been restored, because look what it says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. What does it say next? He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And that's what the shepherds would do in the Middle East and in other places. They would lead them out in the morning to the green pastures. They would then lead them beside the still waters. They would lay down and rest. Then around midday or a little bit after, they would lead them again back to some different paths. The paths to maybe some other pasture, or the paths back to the sheepfold for the evening. But it was after they got restored, after they got fed, after they got watered, after they got restoration, all right? He would lead them along then to some other paths. And it's the same thing with us. Their strength's been restored. It's time to move on to the next place. Again, go to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Verse 1. Because they tie in together so good. Psalm 23 in the first part of Psalm 107. Psalm 107 verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And you know, that's what the shepherd would do, you know. David did it on more than one occasion, from the lion and from the bear. And gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. You know, the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And you know, the Lord, we're all gathered together, returned to the shepherd and bishop of our soul. But look at verse 5. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Well, what did it say in Psalm 23? He leadeth me beside the still waters. Maketh me lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. Hunger, thirst, restoration. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And what happened after that? And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. And is that not exactly what He has done with us? He has saved us from the hand of the enemy. He feeds us, He waters us, and He is leading us in the paths of righteousness, ultimately to a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God, New Jerusalem. He's leading us ultimately to that destination also. So Psalm 107 here and Psalm 23 just, they go together so good. And you know, brethren, you can't travel on to the next step of the journey until you've got the strength to travel. You can't. That shepherd has marked out, there's a plan for that day, all right? And he's going to lead them. But they've got to have the strength to travel. They go to the green pastures, they get the still waters, and then he leads them, all right, in the next path, on the next part of the journey. Go to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verse 52. Psalm 78:52, but made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. You know, the Bible says as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And you know, when you're saved, you can see the hand of the Lord. You can see how God guides and how he directs. You really can. You can look and you can see, and it becomes so apparent, especially in looking back, how God guides and directs and orders things. Go to Psalm 77. Psalm 77. Verse 20. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. He led Israel like a flock, and he leads us the same way. Go to Nehemiah 9. I want you, but there's some things I want you to notice. Go to Nehemiah 9. See, what you want you to notice is the Lord led him, right? But then who did it just say in Psalm 77, who did it say he led him by? Moses and Aaron. Because there's something I want you to notice. The Bible speaks of the Lord leading them. The Bible speaks of the Lord leading them by Moses and Aaron. And there's other ways we're going to see that God led them. And you know what? He leads the church in the same kind of way. Go to Nehemiah 9. Nehemiah chapter 9. And in Nehemiah chapter 9, look at verse 12. Nehemiah 9 and verse 12. Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Wow. So, okay, the Lord himself led them. He led them by Moses and Aaron. He led them by a cloudy pillar and a pillar of fire. Go to Numbers 9. Numbers 9. And what I'm trying to show you is there were different ways the Lord led them. And it's the same way with us. Nehemiah 9 and verse 15. Nehemiah 9 verse 15. And on the day, I'm sorry, Numbers 9. I apologize. Numbers 9 verse 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire unto the morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. The commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents, and at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And let me just say this real quick. That's the whole key, is you just following the Lord. You follow the Lord. Lots of times, brethren, we get antsy. We get stir crazy. But you get yourself in a fix that way. When that cloud, at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. How? How did they know? Well, when the cloud rose, or the cloudy pillar rose, in the middle of the night maybe, or during the day, then it was time to journey. But as long as it was resting there, they stayed. They stayed. All right? And they didn't try. They didn't do it on their own truck. They didn't do it on their own, all right? Because they'd get them a fix. They did it by the Lord, the Lord's guidance. Take your Bible, go to Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63. Now, there's a reason I'm pointing this out. Isaiah 63. Because he led them like a flock, right? Well, how did he lead them? By himself, by Moses and Aaron, by the cloudy pillar, by the pillar of fire. These are all different ways he led them. Isaiah 63, verse 12. That led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make himself an everlasting name. That led them through the deep as an horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble. As a beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. So his Spirit was involved in leading them. His Spirit was involved in leading them. Now, so I want you to notice, they were led by his Spirit, by the pillar and cloud, and by the leadership of Moses and Aaron. That's how they were led. All right, take your Bible. Go to Romans 8. Go to Romans 8. Romans 8. Brother, God's going to lead his flock today. God's going to lead church the same kind of way. He's going to lead the same kind of way. All right? Romans 8. And we've got to be careful about that because, brother, so many times people say, well, the Lord led me. And we can say that about all kinds of things. But the Lord leads. How did he lead them? By leadership. By leadership. By Moses and Aaron. He led them forth by the cloudy pillar and the pillar of fire. And he led them by his spirit. And he, in those different ways, he used all those things in leading. And the Lord does the same thing today. Romans 8 verse 14. Romans 8, 14, for it is many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Brethren, there is such a thing. There is such a thing of taking and getting a peace from God about something. Getting a peace from God about something. It's important. I believe that kind of thing. You see, there are some things in life, there are some decisions confront you that are not right or wrong. Now see, if you got a verse on the thing, you don't pray about it. You just do right. When you got a verse on it, when it's a matter of right and wrong, you don't pray about that thing, you just do right. But brethren, there are some things that is not really right or wrong. You got to figure out, what does God want me to do? And it ain't easy. It ain't easy. You know, I had a situation this past summer. That's why I covet your prayers. Covet your prayers. Covet your prayers. I was asked to go preach down at Marvelous Grace Girls Academy. So I was down there for a week. Had a piece about that right there. To help Brother Blankenship out. So I went down there. And things went good. By the grace of God, thanks to the Lord, things went good. And we were packing up Friday night. We were getting our stuff together to leave out the next morning, Saturday morning. And about 11 o'clock, he called me and he said, brother, would you extend the meeting? Would you? I was just one of the speakers that was there. But he asked me if I would keep the thing going and extend the meeting. Well, son, you talking about a monkey wrench thrown in something. It was 11 o'clock at night. We was getting ready next morning to come back up here. And I said, well, brother, I'll pray about it. Now, folks, I don't care what the right thing to say is. I mean it by the grace of God when I say I'm going to pray about something and try to seek God's face. Maybe sometimes with some people it's just something you just say to be saying it. But with the grace of God, I mean that. Well, I walked around. And I went and, I mean, I talked to Sarah for a little bit there. And I walked around and got down and prayed and got up and walked around. Oh, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? This was late at night. And I was like, Lord, what in the world do I do about this thing? And I knew there wasn't a right or wrong about it. There wasn't a right or wrong. You know, there wasn't a right and a wrong concerning this, but what do I do? He asked me to take and extend the meeting. But brethren, I pastor. And that's what God called me to do. Don't get me wrong. Now hold on, let me say, don't get me wrong. God's God, he trumps all things. If God wanted it, I'm gonna do the will of the Lord. Okay? God, I mean, look here. David kept his father's sheep, correct? But then the Lord had him go and become armor bearer to Saul for a while, then go back, and then go back again. So God will take and do things. It better be God. And so I got down, and I was like, Lord, how can I tell? Things had gone good. Some of them girls, it just went real good. I'm just saying. And he's wanting to extend this thing. I was like, Lord, what do I do? It don't matter what I would want or what, Lord, what do I know? I had folks pray, what do we do? And as I got down and prayed and got still, it's like the Lord spoke to my heart and said, when you were asked to come down this week, what did you sense? I said, Lord, a peace, no confusion, nothing whatsoever. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, what do you sense right now? Lord, I sense confusion. I don't feel that same peace. It don't have that same settledness. And he goes, there's your answer. Well, that took care of that. Then it means going in and telling that brother, I can't do it. And you may think I'm exaggerating, but I left Pensacola, Florida, and I think I cried all the way to Tallahassee. You can ask my wife. I tried to pull over to get something to eat, and I couldn't do it. I was weeping so hard. Brethren, not because of I wanted to do that, and it's because, brethren, I hated disappointing that man. But there's no way I could look him in the eye and tell him that I had a peace about it from God. And if God ain't in it, no matter how bad we want to make something good or do it, it ain't going to be good. And I have a responsibility here. Now, don't get me wrong. That was foremost. Lord, I pastor those people. But God's God. As long God ain't going to direct you in something wrong. All right? You understand that? But if God had said, I want you to do it, well, I'd have had to done it. But there wasn't no peace about that. And it wasn't. That still don't mean that it's easy. That still don't mean that it's easy. That still don't mean, I don't know to this day, I don't know if he understood or not. I don't know if he understood or not. And you can't worry about it. What I knew was, God spoke clearly to my heart that, son, did you have a peace about coming in and start? Well, yes, Lord, it was no confusion, no nothing. I knew it was the right thing to do. Do you have the same thing? No, Lord, it's not there. There's your answer. Wisdom for its buzz. First, peaceful, gentle, easy to be entreated. Okay? And so, folks, what I'm telling you is, look here. It's easy for folks to say, well, the Lord guided me. And if somebody tells you that, as long as it don't get into Scripture, you just got to take them at their word. Because as long as it doesn't violate Scripture, you got to take them at their word. It's always to it. But, brethren, when you say that, you better be serious about it. When you say that, you better be serious about it. When you say that you prayed about it and you've had others pray about it and you've sought the Lord and you better take it serious. Don't do it as just I'm covering myself to say, well, I prayed about it. But a lot of times people, they pray, but they just pray to quick. I know what I'm going to do. I want to be able to tell everybody I prayed about it. Right. Brethren, don't do that. But there's liable to be a cost with it. And there's liable to be some misunderstanding with it. And that's just the way it is. But brethren, listen, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That means something. It means something to me when I got saved, that for the Spirit of God to lead and direct. And I got born of Him. And I want Him to guide and direct my life, and that means something. And you and I should be that way. And that's, listen, He led that flock by His Spirit. He's going to lead us the same way. All right, and brethren, look here. There'll be times, sometimes, a lot of times in the decisions you make, somebody's not going to understand you, and somebody's going to think you're acting on your own, and somebody's going to think you're acting out of self-interest, and somebody's going to think, and you just got to deal with it. You just got to trust that if you have followed the Lord as clear as you know how, you got to deal with that thing. Now I tell you what, I cried. I'm serious. About all the way, I think Tallahassee. Brother, I didn't want to I had to disappoint that man. Them girls, they wanted that thing. I won't go into everything, but it was like, I know some of them girls would like for it to go on. You say, well, Brother Dawson, that should have been, brethren, God trumps everything. God trumps it. My responsibility is here. But if God had said, no, I want you to do it, well, okay. I'd have done that and hoped I had faith and trust that y'all had understood. But that wasn't where the peace come from. And it just wouldn't. And brethren, look here. Listen, I'll just say this, and I'm going to move along. Brethren, don't ever try to be spiritual. Just be spiritual. Don't ever try to be spiritual. Just be spiritual. Just walk in the Spirit. And listen, if there's a right or wrong, do the right thing. If it's a matter of, well, you know, I don't know, then get with God. Get with the one who saved you. Get with the one who abides within you. Get with the one who birthed you in the kingdom. And be still a little bit and let God give you peace. understand it. There's going to be times it won't be understood. That's the way it is. Go to John 10. John 10. John 10. I covet your prayers, brethren. We got to pray for one another. Pray for one another. John 10, verse 37. John 10 and verse number 37. I'm sorry, brethren. That is not where I meant to go until I get it straight here. Go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. I'm sorry. Go to John 10 again. Yeah. John 10. My fault. Verse 27. Made that 3 look like a 2 or 2 look like a 3. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. You know, the Lord leads us by His Spirit. And He goes before us and we follow Him. Take your Bible, go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Now, how did God guide Israel? By His Spirit, by His presence, by the cloudy pillar, by the fire, and by leadership. The Bible says He led them by Moses and Aaron. And God is going to guide. Listen, folks, look here. Listen. You take like, we'll take around here at times, but look here. And we'll take and, you know, my goodness gracious life. There'll be certain things concerning that you guys get together, business decisions, some things we'll do and all like that. But brethren, there's a part of how the local church operates that pastor's got to make a call. And that's it. Do you know why? Because he's the one got to give an account for God. Nobody else does. That's where the accountability is. You understand that? And that's why, brethren, that's times. You know, I'll let you meet before. Y'all meeting. But I'll exercise veto power on that thing. As pastor. Why? Gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I'm the one, and your pastor, wherever you're at, has to give an account to God. Nobody else does. Just like in your family, you've got to give an account. Look here, take your Bible. Hebrews 7, look at Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you. Brethren, you can't get around it. You can't get around it. There is a spiritual authority there that you can't get around. And who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Go down to verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And quickly go to Psalm 119. All I'm telling you is that the Lord is going to guide the same way He guided Israel. By leadership, by His Spirit, by His, Psalm 119, by His Word. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's how the Lord's going to guide us. He's going to guide us by His Spirit. He's going to guide us by His Word. He's going to guide us by His presence. He's going to guide us. There'll be circumstances at times that'll operate and like that cloudy pillar and the pillar of fire. There's different ways He's going to do and by leadership. All those ways He's going to guide us. All right? The Lord, His Spirit, His Word, pastoral leadership. Just like Moses, He's going to lead in those ways. Now go back to Psalm 23 a minute. Which problem is we got a problem today. Brethren, nobody likes authority. Nobody likes authority. I understand it's got abused. Shame on that. But brethren, we cannot escape from the fact of the authority God has given there in local church. It shouldn't be abused, but it's there. And y'all, it's a serious matter to ever buck that, just like it is with the home. There's something about authority that is serious stuff with the Lord. It just is. Psalm 23, look at verse 3 again. He leadeth me where? In the paths of righteousness. The shepherd doesn't let the sheep find their own way, for they will soon go astray. He leads them in safe paths. Brethren, the Lord leads His flock in the safe paths of righteousness. If the way you are traveling is not righteous, then the Lord is not leading in it. You know that. He leads how? In the paths of righteousness. Hey, check it out. Again, by His Word. Go to Isaiah 8. Isaiah 8. I want to show you some paths He leads by. Isaiah 8. Paths of righteousness. But look what some of these paths are. Isaiah 8. Look at verse 20. Isaiah 8, verse 20. to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. By his, to the law, to the testimony, by his word. John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Holy Spirit is called, in John 16, he is called the Spirit of truth, guiding in the word of truth. Go to Psalm 119 again. Psalm 119. God is going to guide by his word. He's going to guide by his word. Psalm 119, verse 35. Psalm 119, verse 35. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Because what did it say? What Psalm 23 say? He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Well, what are one of those paths? The path of his commandments. The word of God. So listen, if you want leadership and guidance from the Lord, go to his word. If you're looking for some counsel, go to his word. Now, there's going to be sometimes, like I just told you about, that example I told you, that it's not really a right or wrong. It's not really a right or wrong. It's, God, what do you want? And you need to get a peace from God about that. He's not the author of confusion. His ways are peaceful, gentle, easy to be entreated. But let me tell you something. I didn't get that. Listen, when I got down and prayed, when I got down and got down there and got still, my heart was breaking out. But when I got still, it's like the Lord said, son, what did you have when you were asked to come in here to start with? Well, peace. Wasn't in confusion. I knew it was the right thing to do. Son, what do you have in comparison now? Lord, I don't have that. There's your answer, bud. Son, there's your answer. My ways are peaceful, gentle, easy to be entreated. You don't have a peace about it. You had it before. It's not the same situation there of what you're sensing. There it is. Lord, thank you. Cleared it up. I'll tell you this. You know what? Not one time did I doubt that was the right decision. I wept like a baby all the way to Tallahassee. Brother, I can't stand feeling like I've let somebody down. I can't stand it. But not one time did I doubt. Not one time did I doubt it was the right decision. When I got down there and prayed, it was clear as a bell, and I knew the right answer. But I didn't make it any easier. So I didn't doubt the right answer. Bit like it ripped my heart out. Look here. When you got something like that, what do? You better get peace from God. You better pray about that thing. Listen, take your Bible and go to Psalm 119, verse 35. Let me get over there. Psalm 119, verse 35. You know what the problem is today? Nobody can be still. Too often people can't be still. They cannot be still long enough. I want something now. I want something now. Give it to me now. But sometimes you got to get quiet. You got to quit listening to your emotions. You got to quit listening to everything that's pounding in your head. You got to listen to all that and tune that out and be still. And let God give you some counsel in your heart. Like I said, if it's a matter of right and wrong through the word of God, you know what to do. But sometimes, like, Lord, there's not a right and wrong in here. God, what do I do? You got to be still and wrestle that thing out. Nobody's got patience for that today. It's just Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 35. Make me to go in the paths of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. So there's the path of the word of God. There's the paths of balanced judgment. Go to Proverbs 8. There's the paths of balanced judgment. Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8, verse 20. Look what it says. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment. Well, man, if you're in the midst of something, that's a balance there. In the midst of the paths of judgment. The Bible speaks of not going to the right hand, not going to the left hand, the midst of the paths of judgment. Let me tell you something. God will lead us. The paths of righteousness, some of those paths are paths of balance. Balance. Not going too far to one extreme, too far to the other extreme. A balance with things. It's also the old paths. Go to Jeremiah 6. Jeremiah 6. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Well, you got to give them that. At least they're honest. Most people today won't do it, but they just won't admit it. At least they said, not going to do it. You know, the Lord said, you stand in the ways. In other words, he said, look, stand at the crossroads. Stand in the ways. And behold, look at it. And ask for the old paths. Look, if people would just use common sense, look and compare where we're at today with the way things used to be. The old paths. Come on. Which is the better way? It's obvious. Ask for those things. Young folks, look, use observation. Look at the way. I tell you this, look here. Look at the lives, look at the ways of those who choose paths different than the Word of God or the way your parents. Look at those paths. Look at the way they are. I mean, come on, use your common sense. See, behold it for yourself and ask for the old paths. Character is going to mean at times you're going to have to go against the flow. You're going to have to. Sometimes, young folks, sometimes it'll mean it you won't be popular. But that's having character. And it'll pay off for you. You've got to see that. You've got to trust that. Look here, by the old paths, by mercy and truth. Go to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. Psalm 25. Psalm 25, real quick. Look here at verse 10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such that keep His covenant and His testimonies. Now, the Lord said He leads in the paths of righteousness. So some of those paths are, look, the path of His Word, the path of balanced judgment, the old paths, the paths of mercy and truth. Let me tell you something. When God's guiding you in the paths of righteousness, it won't be paths of revenge. It won't be paths of bitterness. It won't be paths of me and my rights. It'll be paths of mercy and truth. It'll be paths of mercy and truth. That's the way He'll lead in. But a lot of times we take little side trails that God ain't leading in. But we justify it in our mind. He leads in the Psalm 25:10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. He leads by plain paths. Go to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Come on, brethren. God's not here playing games with you, going, see if you can figure it out. I'm going to hide it. I'm going to cover up the trail, make it real difficult, and I'm going to laugh at you to try to... God don't do that. He don't do that. If you will seek His face and be still, and if you want His will, He'll make it plain. Take your Bible. Go to Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8. A lot of times we're just afraid what the answer is going to be. We probably already know it. A lot of times. Yeah, we just do. We just won't face up to it. Really. We really, it's like that at times. Proverbs 8, verse 8. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. You know, the Bible says to depart from evil is understanding. You know something? If you hate evil, you desire to fear the Lord and love Him like you ought. Most things will be plain. Most things be plain. A lot of things people say they've got to pray about, they don't need to pray about. They don't need to pray about. Shoot, man. Let me tell you something. When you really got to pray about something, son, you're going to be praying. Because you're going to be able to go to God and say, Lord, help me. I just don't know the right call to make here. Lord, I mean, it ain't a right or wrong thing. Lord, show me. But I will tell you, though, most decisions, the most part, you don't need to pray about it. You just need to do right. Just need, you don't pray about it. A lot of times, brother, we want to pray about it because we're hoping God will give a loophole. I know the right thing, but God, surely there's a loophole you will let me out to do what I don't want to do. Seriously. But then there are those times, brethren, that we got to just, it's not a matter of right or wrong. We've got to find out what the Lord has to do. Take your Bible. Take your Bible real quickly. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. First Corinthians 14, verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Amen. All right, so he leads how? By his word, by paths of balanced judgment, old paths, mercy and truth, plain paths. Tell you what else he leads by? Parental paths. Go to Proverbs 4. Yeah, buddy. He leads by parental paths. Parental paths. You know why? Because that parent has an accountability before God. Yes, sir. That parent has an accountability for God. And listen, let me tell you something. Now, y'all look here. Youngs, look here. Listen to me real good. Would it make sense for God? Would it make sense for God to give somebody accountability but then not give them guidance? I mean, really? That don't make no sense. God's, I'm going to hold you accountable. But I'm not going to tell you how to lead and how to y'all to do. That makes no sense. God's going to show. If that parent wants to lead in the right paths, God's going to guide them. And children, that's why, look here, you can trust. Because that parent has an accountability. They've got an accountability. And I'm going to tell you right now. When you are in the subordinate position of being a child in your parent's home, look here. You've got an accountability upon you about how you behave. Listen, let me tell you something. Look here. The husband's accountability is leading. The wife and children's accountability is submission. Sisters, children, God is not going to look at you and say, how'd you lead? How'd you lead that home? No. It's how'd you submit? Leadership's out of your hand. Don't fret it. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. Just you do right. Dads, we're going to be held accountable for how we led. Not how we submitted to our wife, or how we submitted to our children, or how we submitted to... We got to lead. But now listen, youngins, y'all listen to me. Your parent has accountability. They've got to answer to God. And I'm going to tell you something. It's one of those situations that there's no way around this. You cannot know what it's like until you are a parent. You cannot know what it feels like to tear your head, pull you back your hair out because you don't want to break their back with things, but yet you want to do right by God and you want to give the right counsel and you want to take and every situation is not as easy as you wish it could be. And it's not just a flat blanket kind of situation and you want to take, and man, I mean, it's a rough one. And you can't understand it until you're a parent. You can't. And one day you will become a parent. But I tell you what you can do. Even though you can't understand it, you can try to understand that you don't understand. And that'll help you have the right attitude. Look here. When Adam and Ellie was seeing each other, I sat down with them and I told them, I said, y'all, look, there's going to be some times I'm going to have to make a call that's going to seem inconsistent and y'all ain't going to understand. You just got to trust me. I said, because Adam and Ellie, I can't make a blanket statement on everything that'll come up. And I said, I'm going to tell you something. There'll be some times that I will give permission for y'all to go somewhere and do something, and other times I won't, and you can't try to figure it out. It won't make no sense. I said, but the one thing I will promise you, I'm not playing games with you. I said, the devil may try to whisper in your ear and tell you that I'm trying to play, authority games with you just because I got the power. I said, I'm not. I said, all I can tell you is I'll just have a sense and a peace about one, but maybe not the other, and you're just going to have to trust me. I said, from your view, and they did. They didn't give me no junk. I thank God for that. I said, from your view, it may look like, man, I understand. This was okay, but now this ain't okay. I told them ahead of time, it will happen. But I'm not playing games with you. I'm not toying with you. It's just, I'll have peace maybe about one, but for whatever reason, God don't give it about the other, and you just got to trust that. Because until I put her hand in his hand, I was the accountability. I was the one accountable. Man, when her hand went in his hand, that's his now. Not my place to stick my nose in now. That's his deal. That's his deal. But before that, all right? And so there'll be things sometimes. And young ones, you've got to understand that. You've got to understand. He's like, why has this got to be? Your parents trying to serve God. They want to do right by God. They want to do right by you. They don't want to break you back with things. And so they're constantly going, well, am I too easy? Should I be harder? Should I let up some? And I'm trying to be. Man, they're going through that thing constantly. And if you have the maturity that you maybe think you have and ought to have, then the right maturity level would cause you to say, Mom, Dad, thank you. I'm sure it ain't easy. And thank you for trying to do right. And I'm praying for you. Man, you want to bless the socks off your parents? Tell them I prayed for you today. Glory to God! Huh? Glory to God! That's worth, huh? Forget all the money in the world. Forget all the this. Forget all the that. What? Have your child come say, I just want you to know, I prayed for you today. I'm praying, Lord, to guide you. I know you love me. I know you want to make a right call and decision. I just want you to know I'm praying for you. How about that? Son! That'll work. That'll work. You know what that'll mean? You know what that'll do? Just to do, and to do that. To get down and say, Lord, help my mom and daddy make good decisions. I know they only want the best, Lord. And Lord, I know they got to deal with a jughead like me. And I'm sure you're a jughead. I was a jughead. I still probably only God's jughead, youngins. I'm just telling you. But to hear that word say, I know you're trying and you want to do best and I'm praying for you. Wow. How about that? Sometimes that'll make you go back even as an adult, tell your mom and daddy, I'm sorry. Shoot, I apologize things to my parents after I was done married. Just hated any grief I caused them. Just hated it. You youngins, if you're doing right, keep at it. And I just want to ask you again. Are you when's the last time you prayed for your mom and daddy? And I don't mean, Lord, bless my mom and daddy. No. I mean, I know the night, making mention's fine, but that's your mom and daddy. When's the last time you maybe put a little thought into it? Lord, help them as they make decisions. Help them may try to figure out and guide me and my brothers or my sisters how we ought to go and how we need to do. And Lord, help them. And God, help me to make their task easier and be a good youngin'. Is anything wrong with that kind of prayer? Anything wrong with that kind of prayer? I mean, seriously, anything wrong with that kind of prayer? Why, shoot fire, man. Saved or lost. Anybody can play that thing. And anybody can play that thing. Wouldn't that be a good one? Young and seriously. How about it tomorrow? How about it tonight? Take a little time. Lord, help my daddy, help my mama. Help them, Lord, to give direction and guidance and give them strength. And maybe even tell them, I prayed for you. Why, shoot, you want to throw a cherry on top of the thing? Wrap your arms around them, give them a hug and kiss and say, I just want you to know I love you. Son! That's good stuff. Good stuff. Don't wait till somebody's looking at you. Well, they won't be looking. But won't wait till they'll be staring at you with eyes closed from a casket and you stand there going, why didn't I? Why didn't I say I loved you? Why didn't I do it? I told you one of my friends when I was in high school, he told me, he goes, Jonathan, he goes, our pastor, don't worry, I don't do stuff like this because I don't really care for it. He said, but our pastor had us get up and go hug our parents. Now, don't worry, I ain't going to do that because I don't like it. If you got to do it like that, it ain't worth a hill of beans to me. I don't. But anyway, and he said, Jonathan, I didn't do it. And he said, it's killing me. It's killing me that I didn't do it. It's killing me that I didn't do it. Can't be wrong. Can't be wrong to do it. Be an encouragement. Everybody in this room wants somebody to tell them you love them. Everybody in this room wants to hear it. Everybody in this room wants to feel appreciated and loved. And you are a liar and your feet stink if you say you don't. That's the truth. Everybody in this room. Let me tell you something. How about, if you'd like to receive it, how about extending it? How about giving it to others? Look here, take your Bible real quick. The parental pass, Proverbs 4, verse 10. Proverbs 4, verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee. This is daddy talking, right? This is daddy talking. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Hey, you know some of the ways the Lord leads is parental paths. You say, well, Brother Dawes, what if a parent leads you in ways of sin? Don't follow. You got the Word of God, you know truth, you don't follow. But if they ain't leading you in the path, listen, if they're not leading you in the paths of sin, but you don't follow if they lead in paths of sin. But you still got to pile up paths of inconvenience. That's going to be all your life. There's going to be a lot of ways it ain't going to be inconvenient. You got to follow them. Might be an inconvenient path. Might be a frustrating one. But if it ain't a wrong one, you got to follow it. All right, look here. Go back to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Before I get to that last part, I forgot to say this to you. That paths of righteousness, it's a path that should get clearer as time goes on. Not the end result, but the path. Look at Proverbs 4 again. Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, look at verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more in the perfect day. You know, the older I get, the more I realize I have no idea where God, what God is headed and what he's doing. But the path itself seems to get clearer all the time. Where he's headed with it, seems more obscure than it's ever been. But the path gets clearer. The path itself. Look here. Psalm 23. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Look at the last part. For his name's sake. Now, boy, that's one. This is the last. We're closing up with this thought. But this last part of it here. Why does he lead in the paths of righteousness? For his name's sake. Not for the sheep's sake. For his name's sake. That thing didn't say, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for my sake. No, sir. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for the sake of the flock. No, sir. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Listen, of course he cares for the sheep. That's a given. But he also cares for his own name's sake. His reputation as a great and good shepherd. And there's no way around that thing. No way around it. Look here. What's at stake and means is his own namesake. His reputation as the great and good shepherd. He leads you and I paths. Listen, you benefit from it, but your benefit and my benefit is secondary. My God does not exist just to give me a good life. You understand me? He is God. And I'm to give pleasure to him, and things are to glorify him. So the deal that God works out is not it works out being best for me as I yield to it. What it's all about is his glory. This thing he sent around me or you, it's him. It's him, his namesake. I read about a shepherd. He said, look, if you go by and see, if you saw sheep that were fly bitten, you know, and maggot ridden and all like that. He said, you didn't say poor sheep. You say poor shepherd, messed up shepherd. Because it reflected on the shepherd. Well, brother, we're his sheep. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. His reputation is on the line. He's going to lead. The Lord is going to lead in such paths that he will get the glory as a great and good shepherd. The problem is if we don't obey him, we will cause his name and his reputation to be maligned. That's a serious matter. Listen. Take your Bible, go to Malachi 1. Malachi 1. Malachi 1. Malachi 1, verse 11. Look what the Lord said. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. Isn't that,
for someone to want their own glory, he's the only one that that's right about. Because there's only one true God. And he is worthy of all that.
Only God, only unto God were all things created and for his pleasure. He is God. He is the Lord. He is the Almighty. Take your Bible, go to Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel chapter 20. Look at verse 9. Ezekiel 20 verse 9. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known to them in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. For Israel's sake? Oh, they benefited from it. But he wrought for his own name's sake, because his name was on that people, and he wrought for his name's sake. Don't ever forget that. Go to verse 36, Ezekiel 20, verse 36. Ezekiel 20, verse 36, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 22. My apologies. Ezekiel 36, verse 22. Look at this thing. Watch this. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither you went, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. I mean, get a hold of that thing. The Lord didn't say, Israel, I'm doing this for your sake because, oh, he cared for me, loved them. But look at this. He said, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for mine own holy name's sake. Never forget that. The Lord, listen, the Lord is going to lead you and I in paths that will glorify him as the great and good shepherd. If we follow them, we benefit, and he gets glory. If we don't, we don't get benefit, and we cause his name to be maligned. Take your Bible. Go to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Deuteronomy 32, verse 26. Look what the Lord says. Look at this. I said I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high and the Lord hath not done all this. Some of the ways that God dealt with Israel, he dealt with them because his name would have been dragged through the dirt, in the sense of they would have said, the Lord didn't do this, and Lord, ain't gonna let it happen. It's not that Israel was deserving. Lord's name was on the line. His name was on the line. You see that thing in there? Look here. Let me say this. His reputation is laid on the line. How does he lead his flock? What kind of shepherd is he? He leads for his name's sake. We must follow. Go to Romans 2. This is the last couple of three or four verses here. Romans 2. It's kind of like, look, Sennacherib and Pharaoh. Who is the Lord? I know not the Lord. Okay, bud. Okay. Gotcha. You're going to find out. Sennacherib, you know. God, your God's like, you know, the rest of the gods. Well, you messed up now, bud. His namesake. His name was named upon those people. Yes, he cared for them. Yes, he loved them. But brethren, above all, he's the Lord. See, that's the problem. We tend to forget that. It is easy for us to pick up that Laodicean attitude, and it's easy even for the saints to think, me, it's all about me, and everything revolves around me. Joy is in just finding your place as a cog in the machine, bud, for God. You understand what I'm saying? Finding your place in the puzzle just to fulfill your purpose that God has. That's the joy. If we're not careful, we'll tend to think, it revolves around me. He, Him. Joy is had in, Lord, I'm in the niche you've got for me. I'm doing what you want me to do. Glory to God. And the devil will try to play on your flesh about notoriety or adulation or renown. He'll play on that stuff. Man, you got to die to it and say, Lord, what matters is being in the place you want me to be, fulfilling the purpose that'll bring glory to you. Because that's what it's about. Look here, Romans 2, verse 24. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Whoa. What was happening? Well, the hypocrisy of the Jews caused Gentiles to blaspheme his name. Brethren, his name. You understand? We are either causing God's name to be revered and adored or blasphemed. That's why there are some folks, it'd just be better if they probably didn't tell folks they are professed to be saved. There are some folks out there that just be better. They do everybody God good and they just want to name the name of Jesus Christ, because what they're doing is they're causing his name to be blasphemed. If that's the way of a Christian, forget it, right? Go to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. Brother, he cares about us. Please don't think out here and think out. Of course he cares and he loves us. But you've got to understand, that's all within the context of his name's sake and him being glorified. Brethren, Jonathan Doss deserved and deserves hell. All I deserve is a lake of fire. God had mercy on me for Jesus' sake. And any bit of thing that has ever been right in my life is Him and His grace. And the same is true for you if you're saved. He's the one deserving of all honor and glory. That's why in anything we do, we should seek to glorify Him. It's about Him. Not to stand up today like so many people, you know, when they sing and they do things. It's specials all across the land. It's for self to be seen. Christ is to be lifted up. God is to be glorified, for He alone is the one worthy of it. He alone. Look here, 1 Timothy 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. Man, brother, look here. And finally, 2 Samuel 12. 2 Samuel 12. He leads. How does he lead? Paths of righteousness. By the path of his word, the path of balanced judgment. Old paths, mercy and truth. Plain paths, parental paths. He's going to lead those paths. If we'll follow. If we'll follow. And if we'll follow, he'll get honor and glory. He leads us in those paths for his name's sake. Yes, we benefit, but the first priority is his namesake. Look here, 2 Samuel 12. 2 Samuel 12. 2 Samuel 12 and verse 14. Look what the Lord says to David after that Bathsheba Uriah mess. 2 Samuel 12, 14. Howbeit, God forgave him. God forgave him. I mean, look at verse 13. David said to Nathan, I've sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given the great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. They said, David, you have given occasion to the enemies of God to blaspheme his name. Because you know what you've done, David? David, you know what you've done? David, listen. The Philistines, they knew the things that went on in Israel. You don't believe it? What did the Philistines say when they gathered together there at that battle in the 2 Kings? They said, this is David. They sang of David in the streets of Israel, saying, Saul had slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. They knew about it. Word gets out, man. Word gets out. So no doubt they knew about David, maybe knew some of his psalms and everything. Later on, you see Ittai the Gittite. He was from Gath. That was the Philistines. They knew stuff that went on. So now this thing's happened with David. Word gets out. Check it out. Oh, that's Mr. High and Holy King David, huh? That's the man that believes in living holy for God. That's the man that writes all these psalms. That's the man that does all. Oh, I guess it's okay then to as long as somebody maybe is a Hittite and you know, you can just go ahead and kill him and take his wife and do what? Is that? Oh, that's where y'all's guard is? Oh, we'll take Marduk.
Oh, that's Jehovah. Give us Dagon. You understand? What David did gave occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. God forgave him, but it's David. You have just opened the door. David, you've set out the red carpet for my enemies to blaspheme my name. And he paid a price for it. And that child died, and the sword never departed from David's house. Brethren, listen, he leads in the paths of righteousness, not merely for your benefit and my benefit. We do benefit, okay? But it is for his namesake, that you and I would bring honor and glory to him. And in doing that, we benefit. We benefit. He's glorified. And that's the first and foremost thing. Because we're created what? For his pleasure. But if we don't, he'll lead those paths. But if we don't follow them, as 1 Timothy 6, as Romans 2 says, we can give occasion. When his name is named upon us, we can give occasions to others to blaspheme the name of the Lord. And we can throw mud on his wonderful name by our actions when we name his name, but yet won't follow his leadership. Let's pray. Father, help us, Lord. Father, I pray, dear God, help us, Lord, to dwell upon, dear God, that last statement that was made. That, Lord, you lead in those paths of righteousness. But, Lord, if we don't follow them, then, Lord, if we dare to name your name but don't follow your paths, help us to realize, Lord, then what we do is we provide occasion for your great name to be slandered, to be maligned. Yea, verily, your word says that you to be blasphemed. It would be better not to name your name if we're not going to follow your paths. So, Lord, help us, Father. Help us, Father, to name your name, but then, Lord, in doing so, to follow the paths of righteousness, Lord, that you lead in. And Father, we thank you and we ask this in the blessed Lord Jesus' name. Amen.